Again, Christian greetings to each one who's gathered out this evening. Thank you for being attentive this past week, for being here. I thank you most of all for your prayers. This definitely has been essential and has been felt, and I've been very blessed by that. Thank you for your hospitality. We've got into a number of homes, and we were blessed by that. We have also been blessed by the little casita we were able to stay in and relax and enjoy this time. And we appreciate the picture book that was given. And I'll tell you, we have really studied these pictures, and we have talked a lot about y'all. Now, and we've discussed y'all too. But that's how we got to know y'all a little bit better. So we have appreciated that. And we have really enjoyed our time here. We've talked some about prayer. I do ask for your prayer for us as we travel home tomorrow. I'm going to leave early tomorrow morning. But pray that God would have His way. You know, I've really been blessed by the time of relaxing and studying and fellowship this week. But I told a brother the other night that, you know, I'm going to go home on Monday and I got to live this out too. And coming from a week of being revived and rubber meets the road again and the challenges of life stare me in the face again, this can be challenging. So pray for me, and I will continue to pray for y'all as well. We've really enjoyed our time and getting to know congregation here. So Lord bless each one. For a sermon this evening, I've entitled it, The Church, A Called Out People. A Church, A Called Out People. The world's population about now is 7.6 billion people. Okay, 7.6 billion people. I don't know how much that is. It's just a big number to me. That's a lot of people in this world. The U.S. population is right around 326 million. Okay, another staggering figure, but 326 million. Today, you and I are just a small fraction of the 326 million. And as I think of the church, as I think of a church that called out people of God, we have been called out from these 326 million people to serve the Almighty God. And as I think about the church, as I think about being a called out people, and I think about a huge group of people. Okay, just picture with me something that we'll never see. But let your mind go to a huge group of people. And here's God looking over top of these huge group of people. And He says, I need workers for my kingdom. I need children from among this group. Who is going to be willing to come out? Come out from among them and serve me, and only me. And you think about this called out people. He does not say, okay, looking over the crowd, and I'm going to choose that one and that one. Why don't you come on out? No, that's not the way it works. He calls everybody. Even though the scripture uses the word predestination, doesn't mean that He chooses ahead of time on who it's going to be. But He knows ahead of time who it's going to be. Okay? He knows ahead of time. But what it takes is really for us in that multitude of people that we can hardly imagine ourselves to be in. But try to picture that tonight. And God is calling for people to come out. And you say, yes, Lord, I'll come. But you know it's going to take all you've got. You've got to lay your life down for this. And we've got to count the cost, Brother David was reading about. and say, do I really want to? And when we say, yes, Lord, I am willing to give my life for it, He calls us out and says, look, be separate. Be separate. A called out people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 16. Second Corinthians 6 gives a description about, or the thought here of being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because God says that I'm going to call you out doesn't mean that you could go ahead and continue to be part of that system you were part of before and still be His child. When you're separated, you're separated unto God, or you're not separated really at all. It may be a reformation, but that doesn't separate you unto God. When God separates, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. To be part of the church of Jesus Christ this evening, we need to come out from among them and be separate. That is the only way we can be. Jesus says in John 17 that His disciples are in the world, but not of the world. And Father, He says, Father, I'm asking that you don't even take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. This called out people still lives in the midst of the 626 million people. But they're not part of that system anymore. They have separated themselves unto God because they're a separate people. They cannot mix with the system that the world operates under. And why is that? Because the two don't mix. You cannot mix God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world. That's why there has to be a separation. There has to be a separation. So what are we called out of? Go to Acts chapter 26. Gives us a little glimpse of what we are called out of, what we are separated from. Here is the story of Saul, actually Paul by this time, and he is telling King Agrippa his conversion experience out there on the Damascus Road and how Jesus was talking to him there. But I want to pull out is verse 17, starting verse 17. He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He was calling Paul for a special ministry as a chosen vessel in his kingdom. And what was the work? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what happens when a person says, I am willing to step out and be separate from the world. We turn from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God. What a contrast, what a difference. But this is what happens when a person is called out and accepts that. He is called out of a dark world. You know, the world, the life of this world, the pleasures of this world are very short-lived. Very, very short-lived. It's just but for a fleeting moment. It's emptiness, really. Because when that pleasure is gone, it's left with an emptiness, with a void. And so we have to look for some more pleasure. And maybe, well, that didn't work. Maybe I got to try this. But it always, I'll promise you, it always will leave an emptiness. And not only that, but it leaves guilt. Yes, it does. It leaves guilt. It leaves selfishness. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 explains on what people are that are in this dark world, that have not answered the call, that refuse to answer the call. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. But you know, this says that this was all of us. Okay? For you that have answered God's call and said, I am willing to step out and be your child and give it all up. But we used to be this. We don't glory in that. We don't brag about it. But it does show us what we were and what people are that have not come out from among them yet. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Yes, each one of us. I said the other night, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Each one of us needs to make the decision for ourselves. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian church, in a Christian school. It does not matter. Each one of us needs to make the decision for ourselves. Each one of us were by nature the children of wrath, even as the worst sinner. But you know what? If you, even though you grew up in all those conditions and have not given your heart to Christ, your end is as bad as the worst sinner. Yes. But notice verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, he is rich in mercy. He looks at people, those 326 million people and beyond. Whereas a lot of them are lost. A lot of them are religious, but lost. Why? Because they have not separated themselves. They just go to church and do a lot of good things. But they don't know him. They don't know him. But he has called us out, those that are willing to separate themselves. He quickens. He makes them alive. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Another description of the dark world that we have been called out of and separated from. We'll read the number of verses here, starting at verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. First of all, verse 12, he says, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has made it possible so that we can be partakers of that inheritance. And this Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, he has called us out and chosen us by our response to him. Chosen us, has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That tells us, by the way, that we were created to bring God glory. And if we don't bring God glory with our life, we are not in God's will, because he created us to bring him glory. Okay, let's continue to read. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. What has God delivered us from? What has God delivered us from? Being alienated and enemies in our mind into the kingdom of his dear Son. I wish I had the proper words to explain the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear Son. Scripture gives us a glimpse of what that is. But you know what? The kingdom of God is not yet to come. It is here. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus' message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was the beginning of that. But the kingdom of God is here. And Jesus says that kingdom is in you. Is in you. We as the called out people are part of the kingdom of God. We can be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And that's what the called out people are. That's what the called out people are. That's what we've been called out of. What is our response? What should be our response to being called out? Go to Luke chapter 9. What is our response to God's call? And Scripture is clear tonight that God's call for one is not a call for just the predestined ones. And if it was, and none of us had any choice, we could find something else to do tonight, because if you were predestined to be saved, you just would be, whether you are here tonight or not, or whether you care about it or not, you just would be. But God's word does not say that. It's a choice that each one of us got to make. What is our response? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? If any man will answer my call to come out from among them, we're going to lose our life. We're going to lose our life. Is that okay? Did you lose your life? It says here that if you're going to try to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you say, I know God's calling me, but you know what? That means I need to give up everything. That means I need to give up those things that I enjoy, those things that feed the flesh. And my flesh just, I can't give those things up. Let me tell you something. You're going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all. When I say lose it all, I don't mean only those earthly things. You're going to miss and lose the eternal glories as well. And being in God's presence. And if it was just losing that and dying like a dog and it'd all be over, it really wouldn't be that bad. But if we don't make it to glory, friends, tonight, it's going to be a whole lot worse. Not only do we lose that, but we ended up in a place that's not prepared for us. The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for us, friends, tonight. But God says if that's what you choose, that's what you'll get. And so if we are determined to hang on to life, we are going to lose it. We're going to lose it. Tonight, God's call is for us to come out from among them and be separate. What about the cross? Taking up a cross daily. And cross means death to self. Those things that, anything that feeds the flesh has got to go. Okay? Those things that feed the flesh will need to go in order for us to follow him. Way back in the early 1700s, there was a group called the Moravians. And the Moravians were very, very active in mission work across the world. Greenland, I'm not sure where all they were. There was actually a group of them in Pennsylvania as well, up around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I've never seen it myself. I would love to see it. There's still some remains there. God's Acres, I think it's called, of the cemetery, and there's different things there. But this was back in the early 1700s. Now, as they were very active in mission work and spreading the gospel, and they were godly people, they were scriptural people, though I don't know just a lot about them, but from what I read about them, I think they were very scriptural. But when they went out, needed people to go out to the mission field, and people would say, look, we would like to go. There was three questions that they asked those candidates. The first question that they would ask, have you lived long enough for yourself? And if they couldn't say yes, then they weren't fit to go. The second question they would ask, have you lived long enough for the church? And the third question was, do you have the courage to die for this? That was the three questions that those missionaries needed to answer. And if they said no to any of them, they stayed at home and had more growing to do in their Christian life. Had to, you know, and as I think about that, as I pondered that, and I thought about the questions that we ask at baptism for the converts at baptism. They're very similar. But I trust tonight, and I'm going to read a few of them here in a moment, but I trust tonight as we read that, don't just think of those that are under instruction. But think about back to the time when you answered these questions or something very similar to these questions. How are you doing today? Question number one, are you truly sorry for all your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? And you know, for us that got baptized, we said, yes, we are. We are. We are ready. We are truly sorry. And we are willing to renounce all these things. How have we been doing? And this is not a call. Yes, it is, by the way. A call for the mission field, as God called out people. Another question. Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and His Word and faithfully abide in the same until death? And you know what? If we were baptized that time, we said, yes, we do promise. We do promise. Abide in the same until death. And you know what? Death hasn't come for any of us here tonight yet. We're still all breathing, right? How are we doing in these things? How are we? What is our response to God's call when we said we are going to be the called out ones? We are going to choose to walk with God. We're going to choose to renounce Satan and the world and all our carnal flesh and desires. You know, when God does... what does God do when we answer His call? What does God do for us? You know, so often we say we shouldn't ask what God does for us. But, you know, there's scripture that tells us. What happens to a person when he says, I am willing to step out and be separate and follow the Lord, even if it costs my life? Even if it costs my life. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, verse 17 and 18. He says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And what does it say? And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Are you a son or daughter of the Almighty God tonight? Are you? Have you renounced the things of the past? Are you willing to step out and answer God's call? chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises that God is going to be our Father and we can be His children. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yes, that's what God does for us. He wants to be our Father. He wants to be there for us. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. We read part of this already, or this idea in Colossians. But here it talks, 1 Peter 1 verse 19. Verse 18 tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me tell you, friends, tonight, that the precious blood of the Lamb of God was shed for you and I. What's that worth to you tonight? What's that worth to you tonight? You know, as you think about that blood that was shed, the Lamb that was killed so that you and I can be saved, so you and I can live. That was the precious blood of Christ. You know what? The amazing thing is He didn't have to do that. But He chose to. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. And He washes us with that precious blood of Christ. Yes, that is what He's willing to do. Now go to 2 Peter 1. In verse 4, not only does He cleanse us with the precious blood of Christ, but verse 4 of 2 Peter 1. Okay, 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Not only does He cleanse us, friends, tonight, but He puts His divine nature in us. As I think about that, that's very sobering to me, because why would He do that for me? You know, sometimes I remind God of who I am and where I've come from. And God tells me every time, I know that. I know that. But that doesn't make any difference. And it's just sometimes hard for me to grasp. I'll be honest with you, sometimes hard for me almost to accept. But God puts His divine nature in us. Do you have the divine nature tonight? If you have been separated unto God and are walking with Him, you have the divine nature within you. And then the verse says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I hope tonight we have escaped that. And we probably don't realize what we have been delivered from, really. There's probably some of us, I imagine, I don't know you, if you've been in the corruption that is in the world through lust. But if you have been, and you're a child of God, you've been delivered from that. And the rest of us have been spared from that, and the effects are the same as far as that goes. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world. But He puts His divine nature in us. Then back to Ephesians chapter 2. That described what we were before. Now describes on who we actually are. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Now, the book of Ephesians is a tremendous book. It's absolutely beautiful. First three chapters or so tells us on who we are and what God has done for us, delivered us from. It's a tremendous passage. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The household of God, let me tell you something, is the church. The called out people. And when you say, yes, I'm willing to lay it all down so that I can be a child of God, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, and with the saints and with the household of God. And we want to be part of a group, a visible group. We want to be there and fellowship and be accountable, because we're going to need accountability. We're going to need it. Each one of us do. Each one of us do. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation of God. Is that what you are? Are you part of that habitation of God? That's why I said the other night that this building, physical building we're standing in right now, is not God's house. It is only a meeting place. It's a place of worship. Therefore, we want to be reverent. We want to be respectful and all that. But God dwelleth in us. And we together, as the called out people of God that have forsaken the world and the things and the flesh of the desires of the world, we are together a building where God can dwell. Where God can dwell. How beautiful. How beautiful that is. What are we called out for? What is the purpose that God has called us out? You know, it's a whole lot more than to just deliver us from hell. And you know, people get that concept in churches. Our people have that idea sometimes that I'm a child of God and the reason he called me out is to keep me from going to hell. So all I need to do is just make sure I stay out of hell. That is not what the scripture says. We have been called out for a purpose. A purpose not only to keep us out of hell. If that was the only purpose, God could have just not made hell and kept us all out of there. Where was I going? 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Another description of the people that have said yes to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. People that have been purchased. Right? With what? The precious blood of Christ. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have been called out to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness. Are you showing forth his praises? If you are, how? And if you aren't, why not? Are you truly been delivered? Have you truly been called? No, you've been called out. Have you truly come out if you do not show forth his praises? Think on these things. We have been called out to show forth his praises. And that's not only by our lives. It's not only by our singing, which is praises, you know. But you know, our very life, the way we live our life is a life of worship. Did you ever hear of a fish that went swimming? Did you ever hear of a fish that went swimming? You don't talk about that, do you? Why not? A fish always swims, right? A fish, that's just what he does. Let me tell you something. A child of God worships. It's just what he does. Even feeding chickens, Brother Jerry? My chickens don't mind if I sing and pray as I'm walking through them. But you know, even the work is for God's glory. It's not for me to build up my estate. I'd find a better way to do it than raise chickens if I want to do that. But whatever we're called to do, our life is a life of worship. It's a life of worship. That's what we've been called to do. But as a church, there was a reason God called a church. There's a reason that we don't stand individually in this world. And we just go about our own thing. The church, God's plan, the direction he gives in the New Testament is so clear that it is a collective way of fulfilling the ministry that Jesus started. Right? The ministry that Jesus started. He only preached 3 years. Only 3 years. He said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Later he said, the kingdom of God is already here, like I said before, and it's in you. So we continue that work in a collective way as a body where Christ dwells. We can work together. In the prison that y'all going to on Wednesday night, and in many other ways in the community and abroad and at your work site. It's a collective way, and we encourage, it's an organized way to continue Jesus' ministry. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 gives us detailed description on how a church needs to work together. And to live out those passages, let me tell you, is very difficult to do, or almost impossible, if you're going to be, I'm a church within myself, which some people have the idea of. That's not scriptural. Okay? Read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, that tells us on how the church needs to be organized in a way that it can show forth his praises, that we've been, that's why we've been delivered. But now look at Luke chapter 9. I think we were at Luke 9 before, but let's go back to Luke 9. That tells us, as individual, what is our part in this dark world? Luke 9, verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Christ tonight? You've been called out. You said you've been called out. You have separated yourself. But tonight, are you ashamed of Christ? It's a pretty sobering place to be. And I must admit, sometimes I have been. Why? What are people going to think? What are they going to... I might not know how to answer if they do ask me some more questions. You know what? That's shame on me. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? How familiar am I with the word? But he says, if we're going to be ashamed, as individuals are going to be ashamed, as a church maybe, we're going to be ashamed, he's going to be ashamed of us. It's just a warning that he gives us. God has called. The scripture is clear that if we have answered the call and said, yes, I am willing to step out from among them, I'm willing to be separate, I'm willing to follow you, I'm willing to die. It's clear that if we have answered that call, that we will be dead to self. Yeah, that's number one. That's number one. We need to be dead to self. And you know what? Beautiful thing would be if it would be once and for all. But it's not. It Scripture again says that, does not tell us that once we are saved that we're just always going to be. He says, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. Maybe you once were, but it's departing. Well, some say they never were. How can you depart from some place that you never were? Right? It's a daily thing. Paul says that. I die daily. If we have answered the call, but the love of the world is still in us, the love of the Father is not there. So if we answer the call, we're not going to love the world anymore. Okay? And that means the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, right? Those things are not going to be part of. Those things have been put away. What is it about us tonight? Is the love of the Father in us, or is it the love of the world? What do our lives and our actions reveal? What does our life reveal that's within us? And the sobering thing is, maybe you say, well, I'm part of the church. Maybe tonight your name is on the roll of a church group someplace. Maybe it's here at Piedmont. Maybe it's somewhere else. I don't know where you're all from. But to have your name on the roll is not enough. That doesn't save you. That doesn't mean that you are separated unto God. What do our lives and actions reveal? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That conversation does not mean only what comes out of our mouth, but let your lives, your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Is that what people see? Is that what our families see? Is that what our children and our young people see out of us? Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And if we have answered the call this evening, we will clearly and wholeheartedly identify with the people of God. Now, when I say the people of God, I mean those that have come out, not only some organized group that calls themselves a church. I'm talking about people of God that have answered the call, that truly are dead to self and are going to encourage me in the right way. We're going to identify with those kind of people. Scripture tells us that. We're also going to be willing to support and work together as a body. We saw that here, wherever that passage was. We read about the body being fitly framed together, an inhabitation of God. We're going to be willing to work together and support with Christ our head, and to fulfill what ministry? The ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God has given the church the ministry of reconciliation. But not only that, He has given us the word of reconciliation first, and how people can be reconciled with God. And so when you say, I'm willing to come out and be separate, that is restoring that relationship that we talked about a lot this past week. Restoring that relationship. And God has given the church the words of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Are we part of that? Are we working that? Are we supporting that? Are we encouraging that? You may say, I'm just a laborer. I'm not the minister. I'm not the deacon. I don't have an office in the church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do have an office. If nothing else, then in your prayer closet. But you have a part of the church of Jesus Christ, part of the local body that you are part of. The ministry of reconciliation that God has called. Where does this leave us tonight? Well, there is a day appointed for the church to be raptured. There is appointed a day of judgment. That day has been set. There's been appointment made where only God knows. The beautiful thing is today, God is still calling people out from among them. Tonight, you may be sitting here. You may be listening in. But just because you're sitting here does not mean that you're part of the called out people. God is still calling you, each one of us, to a closer walk with Him or to a walk with Him. God is still calling out to be reconciled unto Him. And the reason we have today, you know why we have the opportunity tonight yet to answer that call? Because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And friends, tonight, that's why we have an opportunity tonight to say, yes, I am willing to step out and be separate. And if you have answered that call tonight, then follow with your whole heart. Then follow with your whole heart. Put yourself into it. And follow Him just the way you promised to follow Him, unto death. It may be just a death of old age and sickness, but it also may be the death of the sword. Are we ready for that? Have we committed? How dedicated are we? Let's follow with the whole heart. But tonight, if you haven't answered that call yet, tonight is another night of opportunity. Go with me one more passage out of Revelation 20. And I want to describe to you that appointed day one more time. Revelation chapter 20. It gives us a solemn warning of the appointed day. Revelation 20 in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the multitude of people that we talked about before. They're all going to stand there. And we are, all of us, are going to stand there as well. Stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, tonight, when God calls and we say, yes, I'm willing to come out and be separate and be your child, and He forgives our sins, you know what He does? He opens that book and writes your name there. And writes your name there. And if you are faithful unto death, and when the books are opened and He sees your name there, you have nothing to fear. But tonight you have everything to fear if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you answered the call? Tonight is another night of opportunity to answer that call. Don't spurn it. We do not know how long God's going to be long-suffering, but tonight He is yet. And maybe you are here tonight and maybe you never have answered that call. God's call is for you. All right? The invitation is for you tonight to stand and or raise your hand and say, yes, I'm willing. You don't have to say it. Just raise your hand or stand to your feet. Maybe you have, maybe your name is on a church roll somewhere. But you know tonight, by direction out of God's word, that you never did come out. God's call is for you tonight as well. Will you come? And be separate. And touch not the unclean thing. And allow God the Father to be your Father. So that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we bow before You. We have been clearly reminded out of Your word of the day that's been appointed. And Father, tonight we wonder, is our name there? Has our name been added to the book of life? Is it still there? And Father, we can read Your word and have the assurance if we follow You, it can be there. It can remain there. And we'll remain there as long as we're faithful. But Father, maybe there's someone here tonight that has not made their calling and election sure. Maybe they don't know if their name is there. They hope it is, but maybe they don't know. Help them, Lord, have courage tonight to make that need known and find rest for that answer, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here that has never answered. Maybe has held back and says, I'm not ready yet. Help them to realize that they're fixing to lose everything, including their place with You, Father. And so, Lord, give them courage to stand and make that need known, Father. Work in my heart and each one of us as Your Spirit moves among us, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.